the Lord and welcome to this program of Archie Hardy Ministries as we declare souls are crying, men are dying, but together we must win the lost at any cost. I'm Sister Sharon Knotts, and the message you will hear today is Destroying the Works of the Devil, which I exhorted under an inspirational anointing at a Faith Tabernacle Sunday night service. Now, this was one of those services where a burning anointing flowed, and the Word was alive with power and revelation. So I'll be back at the close of the broadcast to tell you how you can order this powerful message, Destroying the Works of the Devil.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. There is something so fresh here tonight. There is something here tonight so powerful. Oh, I just feel like I'm on fire tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord God. Bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. This is what I live for. This is why what makes me thrive is God's presence. Amen. I mean, I don't just come to church just because I've been doing it for, I've lost track now, it's over 50 years. I don't just come to church because that's all I've ever done my whole life. It's because I get excited about God's presence. I am so excited when God comes down in such a way like this. He wants to do something. I don't know what he's doing for you, but he's doing something for me. I can't quite put my finger on what God is doing, but I'm going to let him have his way in me. What about you? Not one person should go out of here tonight with the same old humdrum, stale, stagnant old kind of thing if that's where you've been. I'm not accusing you of being there. I'm saying if you've been there, don't go out. You don't need to go that way tonight. You can go out tonight with something fresh. There is such a powerful here. I'm at the same time on fire and shaking on the inside. It's a powerful delivering anointing. And so I don't care what your problem is or what area of your life it may be in. It may overlap every part of your life. I don't care if you're having a problem in the spirit with oppression, with discouragement, or you've just gotten kind of a little cold and a little distant. You just go through the motions. There is an anointing here tonight to break that. And if you've been all bound up in your emotions and you've had all kinds of fear on you and all kinds of tormenting spirits and you've been dealing with maybe emotions with people and relationships and it's got you all in turmoil and all kinds of things in your spirit, you're knotted up and you sometimes feel so lonely and discouraged, I want you to know the Lord wants to break that tonight. Amen. And if you got sickness in your body of any kind, I don't care if it just happened or you've been dealing with it for years. I want you to know God wants to break that tonight. Amen. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 1 John 3:8. It says, for this purpose. How many know that a purpose means you have a mission? You have a mandate. You have something specific, a perfectly thought out planned mission that you have to accomplish. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. Whatever those works are, he came to destroy them. He didn't just come to, you know, push them off to the side in abeyance a little bit in a nice little package over here. No, he came to destroy them. John said he's going to come with Holy Ghost fire and he's going to put the axe to the root. And when he puts the axe to the root, it's going to die. It's going to shrivel up from the root and it's going to die. And that's the end of it. It's history. And he came to put the axe to the root of sin, of oppression, of fear, of sickness, of disease, over all the works of the enemy. He came to destroy them. Amen. God doesn't want his people being backed up against the wall by the devil. God doesn't want his people being oppressed by Satan. He doesn't want you going to bed at night and having all kinds of fearful things going on all night long because the devil is coming to torment you. He wants you to have the victory, amen, and put that devil on the run. He doesn't want his people that they're always in a turmoil. They're here, they're there. They're double-minded. They're unstable. They believe God and they got the victory. They go out the door and the devil says something and they let it go. He wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord because he came to destroy the work of the devil, that we can walk in that kind of victory. Amen. And if there's anything in your life, if there's sin in your life, he came to destroy that. That sin shall not have dominion over you in any way, shape, or form. Because he that commits sin is of the devil. That's what the first part of 1 John 3:8 says. But the fact is, you can argue and you can have all the theological discussions you want about are you saved, are you half saved, once saved, always saved, what kind of saved. If you sin, you're of the devil. That's deemed you're not saved. But he came to destroy that. He came to destroy the yoke of bondage and to set the captive free. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, to the full and running over. Now, if we don't have life full and running over, we are not receiving and partaking everything that Jesus wants us to have. And don't confuse that with the ideology that then that means you will never have a test and never have a trial and never be in a hard place as though they're incompatible. No, far from that. You can be in the test and in the trial and still have life overflowing and still able to say, I will rejoice. If you read the book of Philippians, from which that scripture says, rejoice, and again I say unto you, rejoice, at least 14 times he says in the book of Philippians, rejoice, rejoice evermore, rejoice again, rejoice about this and rejoice about that. Written by a man sitting in a dungeon, in prison, in a cold, damp dungeon, an aged man with hardly enough clothes to keep him warm because he asked for somebody to bring him a cloak to keep him warm. With the death sentence over his head, you're going to die, you're going to be beheaded. And he could write such a joyful book as Philippians. That is the condition that God wants his people in. He wants us to be in that condition no matter what we're facing and no matter what we're going through, that we can say, I will rejoice. Amen. I will rejoice. Paul went so far as to say, I'm ready now to be offered. My time is at hand. When it's at hand, you know how close that is? Where's your hand? Look at your hand. Whenever the Bible says something's at hand, it means it's that close. He said, I'm ready to be offered. He said, I'm ready to be poured out on the altar like an offering. And I rejoice. And I rejoice. Why? Because when it's your time to face that, God will give you the commensurate grace and joy to face it. How many times in the past had Paul said, you know, if it was up to me, for me to live as Christ, but oh, to die is gain. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I could stay here and be a teacher, an apostle, and a pastor, and help all you out in your walk, or I could go to heaven. Whoa, that's much better. I think it'd be better for me just to go to heaven. But on the other hand, right now you need me, so I guess I'll stay. But when it came time, when he knew his departure was at hand, he was like, I've been waiting a long time. And I am ready. If this is my time, I am ready to be poured out. I am ready for whatever God wants to do. My life is to give over and over again, because it is a universal law of God that whatever you give, you get back, and you get back more, and you keep giving, you keep receiving. So as you keep rejoicing in the Lord, you keep getting back more joy. And you know what joy is? It's your strength. So then you rejoice some more and you get some more. And so when you're down and you're weak and you're strengthless, you do not feel like praising God. And the fact that someone would suggest that you should might even irritate you a little bit. It may irritate you that you think that you're telling me to praise God and you have no idea what I'm going through. That's not the point. The point is what you need right now is strength. You need strength to make it. Are you going to faint on the way? Are you going to faint three quarters of the way? Are you going to make it all the way? It's going to be determined by your strength, and your strength is determined by your joy, and your joy is determined by your praise and your rejoicing in God. Hallelujah. Whatever you face, God is already prepared, and He knows. He absolutely knows. He's prepared ahead of time. Now, sometimes you get in that place and you don't have what you need to get through it. And I want to tell you right now, it's not because God didn't give it to you or prepare you for it. A lot of times it's services like this. You never know. You leave a service like this and you never know what's going to come between now and next Sunday. You don't know if all of us that are here tonight will be in the land of the living next Sunday, or someone we love, or something in our life will be the same, or whether it'll be turned upside down and inside out all of a sudden without any warning. But God prepares you ahead of time. The people that don't make it is the ones who began to get slack and stop getting out to church and come less and less and skip the preaching and out in the hallway somewhere or out somewhere else, not hearing the word. I mean, they're all around, but they're not hearing the word. Amen. You see, the sower sowed the word. He went out and sowed good seed. God doesn't have bad seed. He only has good seed. Amen. But some people don't get the word. Amen. Because the Bible says immediately the enemy came. The birds came to snatch that word.
Amen. What a powerful and yoke-destroying word of the Lord. Saints, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, and his mission is to steal and to kill and to destroy men's lives. But 1 John 3:8 declares, "For this purpose was the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Nevertheless, as Christians, we will be engaged in spiritual warfare against our adversary. He will seek to attack us on every front, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. If we do not counteract his wiles with the word, we can have strongholds of fear and other negativity in our minds and lives. Satan is a dirty fighter. He never fights fair. He looks for an opportunity to attack, and often in the night. But we don't have to put up with it. We have all the weapons we need for victory. Now, you may want to order this anointed message for yourself or for someone you know who is battling fear or depression or oppression or mental warfare. And you can order this entire message, Destroying the Works of the Devil, on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Ask for offer number SK158. That's offer S as in Sharon, K as in Knotts, 158. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or if you prefer, order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Remember, for your love gift of $10 or more, to help us keep these messages coming to you by means of radio, and you're asking for offer number SK158, we'll send you this powerful message, Destroying the Works of the Devil. Once again, send your request to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. And saints, even if you don't want to order today, we would love to hear from you to know that you're being blessed by the radio ministry. So write us or go online and let us know. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.